The Lord be with you.
The
gospel today is great. It's got everything, right? It's got a naked man in chains in a graveyard. It's got pigs possessed by demons. It's got people who prefer possession over Jesus. It's got it all. But this gospel, what makes it great is none of those things. What makes it great is how accurately it describes the world in which we live today. I want to start by explaining the name of the demon, because you see, Jesus asks it, "What is your name?" And the demon responds, "Legion," and the gospel helpfully tells us that legion can mean many, and sure enough, it can. But I was curious to dig a little deeper, and so I looked up what the Greek word for the demon's name was, and what I found out is that there is not a Greek word for the demon's name, because the demon speaks his name in Latin. And the Latin name that he speaks is literally legion. Now, it's kind of odd because Jesus would have been speaking Aramaic. He would have been in a Greek-speaking community, and the gospel is written in Greek. But the demon says its name is legion in Latin, which is the language of the Romans. Friends, if you go to a bar and someone orders a kamikaze, you may think to yourself, well, kamikaze is a Japanese word that means divine wind. Maybe this person wants a beverage that reminds them of the breath of God blowing upon them. No, friends. If someone in English orders a kamikaze, what they are referring to is a World War II pilot who is willing to crash their plane into the enemy. Because the word is in a different language and it has one connotation in ours. And so it is that the word legion in Latin may mean many, but to the ancient world, a Roman legion means one thing, and it is the basic military unit of the Roman Empire. A Roman legion was about 5,000 heavily armed infantrymen trained to maneuver in tight formation. The Roman legions conquered the ancient Mediterranean, including Israel and much of the ancient Near East. The demon that Jesus confronts is the demon of an empire's army. And for all of Israel's history from the book of Exodus, Israel has been trying to cast out the armies of empire from itself, starting with Egypt and then Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Greece, and now in Jesus' time, Rome. But you say to yourself, well, Pastor, if the Jewish people have been continually wanting to kick out the Roman legions, why does it seem like the people in the city in the gospel seem to prefer legion over Jesus? Well, I think there's two reasons. And the first is the people in the city in our gospel reading today are not Jewish, hence all the pigs. It says that Jesus has crossed the Sea of Galilee and has entered into the land of the Gerasenes. Now, the Gerasenes live in a region of 10 cities called the Decapolis, and I've got a map here for you. As you can see, the Decapolis, it's in much of modern-day Jordan, but these 10 cities were Greek colonies, and they owed their existence in this part of the world through their political allegiance to the Roman Empire. So it makes sense that they might want to have a legion in their midst. But friends, it goes deeper than this. Because the truth is, sometimes all of us want to have legion on a leash. You see, the world is a scary place. The night is dark and full of terrors. And there are people out there who want to hurt us. And so we want to be guarded. And sometimes, friends, we think to ourselves, this junkyard dog who is vicious, if I chain him up in my front yard, I can be sure no one's going to mess with me because they got to get through him. Sometimes we want legion in our midst because we tell ourselves, well, legion is under our guard, under our lock, and under our chains, and legion will keep us safe. Even if maybe legion is dangerous to us also. The Apostle Paul writes a letter to the Galatians, and in the third chapter, he explains that the Jewish law is this double-edged source of protection. He says, before faith came, you were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith could be revealed. And he says that this law was a disciplinarian for you until Christ came. And the word there, disciplinarian, in Greek, it's literally pedagogue, which means a leader of children. And in the ancient world, if you were wealthy enough, you wanted your child educated, but they didn't have public schools. So you would hire a tutor, but the tutor didn't come to your house. You had to send your kid to the tutor. Now, kids, if you just let them out of your house and wander through the town, the odds of them getting successfully to their tutor without any mischief is low. So what you do is you hire a pedagogue, a disciplinarian whose job it is to make sure that child gets from their house to where they need to go and back safely. And during that trip, the pedagogue, the disciplinarian, has all the authority of a parent to punish that child in whatever way is necessary to get the child to do what they are supposed to do. The Apostle Paul says that this type of disciplinarian is what the Jewish law has been to God's people. Because you see, when God gave the Jewish people the law, it was just after they had escaped slavery in Egypt. They were a family of runaway slaves who didn't know who they were. And God needed to make sure they got safely to where God needed them to be, not just physically, but as a people. They needed to know who they were in relationship to God, and how they were going to be messengers to God's people. And so God gave them laws to keep them separate and distinct from the rest of the world. And sometimes, friends, in the Old Testament, those laws required the use of force, required the use of violence. And throughout the Old Testament, we see God endorsing the use of violence to uphold the laws that would keep the Jewish people safe and secure as they were formed into their own identity. And it's not just the Jewish people who have used laws and violence to maintain their identity. Under the Roman Empire, in which Jesus was living, there were essentially three divisions that defined society. The first was the division between a Roman citizen and a non-citizen. The citizens were those for whom the empire existed, and non-citizens were the people conquered by the empire. The next division was between free men and slaves. Free men were those who owned property, and slaves were the ones who worked it, and slaves were the economic engine of the Roman Empire. And then finally, there was the division between men and women. We talk about today that families are the basic building block of our societies, but in the Roman world, they took it to a whole nother level. You see, the basic building block was an extended family that included not just a parent and children, but included siblings, nieces and nephews, multiple generations, included even servants and slaves. And the head of this family was the father. But there's multiple men in this family, and so there's one in particular who's called the paterfamilias, the father of the family. And the paterfamilias had legal authority over everyone else in the family, especially the women, but also the children. The father had the ability to choose the spouse for his children regardless of who they wanted to marry. The father could even sell his children into slavery. These divisions of ethnicity and legal status and gender, they formed the backbone of Roman society, and they were enforced through the power of the Roman legion. So of course the Gerasenes want a legion in their midst, because a legion makes sure the world operates as it's supposed to. And if a legion goes away, who's going to keep the chaos at bay? And so it is sometimes that the more that we are scared, the more that we feel threatened, the more willing we are to say we want legion in our town. And friends, that's what we have seen in this country over the past couple weeks. Immigration, customs, and enforcement agents did raids in workplaces in Los Angeles, and people protested. And some of those protesters, in response to the power of the federal government, said what we need in this moment is our own violence to fight back, and they picked up rocks and they threw them at federal agents. They invited Legion into their hearts. And in response, our federal government sent the United States military Marines into Los Angeles. Legion into a city. About a week ago, we saw a man shoot two Minnesota legislators and their families. And last night, the United States bombed Iran. The more we are afraid, the more we say, bring us Legion instead of Jesus. Bring us Legion, because we will keep Legion under lock and key, and Legion will keep us safe. Now, friends, I don't know what will be the future of our country, either domestically or internationally. But Jesus shows us what happens when we invite Legion into our lives. It's the only reason I can think why Jesus permits the demon to enter into a herd of pigs, is to show us what happens when Legion runs our lives. Because what happens to those pigs as soon as Legion enters them is they run down a cliff and jump into a lake and they all drown. Legion destroys the pigs, and Legion will destroy us also, unless we cast Legion out of our hearts and out of our words and out of our actions. Jesus does this. He does it first by casting Legion out of the hearts of an individual man. To his Jewish disciples who have been yearning to be free from Rome's power, he says, the way to defeat Rome is not through a Jewish legion, but to remove the demon of Legion from ourselves, from our hearts. And once Legion has been removed from that man's heart, Jesus sends that man back to his community, because first Legion must be removed from the individual, and then we as individuals can cast the demon Legion out of our culture. And this is why when the man who's been freed of his demon wants to leave, wants to follow Jesus, Jesus says no. Jesus says, go back and declare how much God has done for you. Because the people of his city need to know that there is a new way to be in this world. That in Christ, our reality doesn't have to be defined by divisions enforced through law and violence. That in Christ, there is a new way to be united as one. They need to not just see that this man can be healed, but that they can have a relationship with a person they thought was scary and dangerous, that they can exist with him in a new way. Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, you are no longer subject to a disciplinarian now that faith has come. He says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. He's telling us that we have matured in our faith. We no longer need that person with harsh punishment to make sure we get to where we are going, because in Christ we have arrived. And then he says, there is no longer Gentile or Jew. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all are one in Christ. The world that had been divided into categories of ethnicity, of legal status, of gender, these categories in Jesus fall away in place of a new reality in which we are defined by the common connection we have in Jesus. And because of that connection that we have in Jesus, we no longer need to see divisions as something to be afraid of, something to destroy. Instead, we can see that diversity as a blessing, which through integration can build us up as the body of Christ. Friends, the greatest threat to our nation is not Iran. It's not terrorists. It's not undocumented immigrants. The greatest threat to our country is the belief that our enemy is our fellow Americans. And what will save our country is when one American looks down the barrel of a gun at another American, and in that moment they see not an enemy, but Jesus. And so as tensions rise, may our relationships deepen. May they deepen first with Christ. May we pray that Christ casts out of us the demon of legion, that Christ casts out of our thoughts those petty images that come to our mind when we imagine the people we disagree with being hurt. May we pray that Jesus casts out of our words the demon of legion, the jokes that we share when we laugh about misfortune coming to those that we disagree with. Most of all, may we pray that Jesus casts the demon of legion out of our actions. But as we deepen our relationship with Jesus, may we also deepen our relationship with the very people that our society has told us that we are divided against. May we, like the man who was possessed and then healed by Jesus, may we return to our city. May we declare to them how much God has done for us in Jesus, that they may know that there is a new way to be in this world, one which we show them through the way in which we live. So that when we want to keep this demon that destroys us, Jesus may instead destroy this demon that keeps us. Amen.